Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
How's everyone doing this morning? Everybody's doing well? It's so good to be in the house of God, isn't it? We're almost ready to celebrate our Easter weekend, so we're kind of building up, mounting up to that. So I'm going to give you another message in the realm of what Jesus did for us in this great event called Easter that we're celebrating this month. So let's first bow our heads and ask God's blessing on this word. Father, I know it's impossible for our natural mind to understand, but Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit, which helps us to encrypt, to understand, so that we can hear with ears that truly understand. We have hearts that we can receive it, believe it, and you give us the faith and the grace and ability to put it into practice. Help what we hear to be heard with the ears of our spirit, and help what we hear to be put to the feet, to our feet, by the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So our message is called Overcomer. Who's the greatest overcomer in the world? Come on, what's his name? Jesus is the greatest overcomer. So we're going to talk about overcoming, about living over instead of under, living above instead of beneath. How many of you want to live above instead of under, over instead of beneath? We all want to do that, right? So here's the thing. Overcomers are not absent of problems, trials, and difficulties. Overcomers overcome problems, trials, and difficulties. God created you to be an overcomer. He created you to live over and not under. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have, say it with me, overcome the world. Now you read the Bible, and the Bible is not just about good stories, great stories, but it's actually a historical account of people who were living under and who were also living over and who were living under. So just think about the Bible. Genesis chapter 12, the father of our faith, Abraham. God tells him to leave his homeland, the place he and his descendants had lived forever. And he says, I want you to leave this place, go to another place, just go. It's a foreign land. It's called Canaan land. So what did Abraham do? Packed up, left, went, and God blessed him in that foreign land. He lived over, right? So he lived over. So he's in this place called Canaan. Well, descendants after him, Jacob and his sons, are living in the same place, but it's the land of famine. So therefore, they're living under. But one of Jacob's sons, remember he had 12 sons, Joseph. Joseph lived over. You read his story in Genesis. Wow, he became the ruler over Egypt. But Joseph's descendants, all his family came and lived with him as he ruled, you know, the Egyptian kingdom. But they ended up coming into a place of bondage. So they lived in Egypt for 430 years. They became slaves to the Egyptians they lived under, right? So you see this over and under happening. So they're in this place for 430 years. God raises up a man named Moses. And he tells Moses, go in there to Egypt, set my people free. So Moses brings them out. He brings them into the desert, but they won't go into the promised land because they're not willing to face the giants. Remember that story? And so the people of God, you know, they're living under, they're not living in the fullness of the blessing that God has for them. Go fast forward in your Bible to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. The nation of Israel, the kingdom is, the people are looking for a king. They want to be a kingdom with a king over them. So who's the first king of Israel and Judah? It's Saul. But Saul lives under because he's a people pleaser. He's afraid of people. and he's not really serving God. So he lives under. He doesn't do so well. So God raises up another young man. His name is, anybody know? David. Yeah, so David. David lives over. David rules well. He honors God. He goes after the ark of God's presence. He wants God's presence, right? And so he rules well. He unites the kingdom. He does so well. But so he's ruling over. He's living over. But then David has a son. His name is Solomon. Solomon is full of the wisdom of God. But Solomon allows other gods and other religions into his kingdom. And it divides the kingdom. And so what happens is the Babylonians eventually take over the kingdom of Israel and Judah. And the people of God live under Babylonian rule. But there's a guy living in exile in Babylon. His name is Daniel. Remember Daniel? Daniel rises up and he's a strong believer in Jesus and he lives over. He becomes a major ruler in that pagan kingdom of Babylon. But the rest of the nation is still living in bondage because eventually the Persians defeat the Babylonians and now Israel is living under Babylonian or Persian rule. But then there's two guys that rise up out of seem like nowhere, and their names are Ezra and Nehemiah. And Ezra and Nehemiah are basically living as sort of like slaves and servants under Persian rule. But Ezra is a prophet, and Ezra is also a teacher of the Word of God. And Nehemiah is a servant. He's a cupbearer to the king of Persia. Well, both of these guys petitioned the king and said, we have a passion for our people, passion for our homeland. Let us go so we can rebuild, you know, our city and rebuild the temple of God. Such favor on those guys. They're living above in the favor of God. King says, go. And they rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the walls, and bring back the worship of God into the kingdom. See, all these people are either living under or living over. Fast forward to the New Testament. The people of Israel are living under Roman rule. They're ruled over by the Roman Empire. They are living under. Then finally, Christ, Jesus Christ, comes into the picture, comes onto the scene, and he becomes conqueror over it all. He conquers hell, he conquers death, he conquers the power of sin. He lives over, he rules over sin, death, and hell. See, that's what we're celebrating at this time of year. We're celebrating the fact that the gospel and Easter is all about our victorious, overcoming Christ, right? You know, it's like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. He's speaking to us. It's time, as people of God, to start living over and not under, right? It's time to start winning the battles in your life. It's time to take up the authority as a believer of Christ. It's time to take out the giants in your life. It's time to make some spirit-led decisions. It's time to repent of sins. It's time to repent of, you know, sins that so easily entangle us. It's time to repent of mindsets and negative mindsets and compromising attitudes that literally set us back as a people of God, right? And so, and we need to just give these to God. Maybe you're going through a valley right now. Maybe you're going through a valley. But can I say this? You're going to live over it. You're going to live over whatever is on top of you. God wants to give us the power and the strength and the ability to live over and not to live under, right? God is calling you. He's literally calling you. He's calling you, he's calling me to be higher and not lower. To be above and not below, right? To be at the top and not at the bottom. To be the head and not the tail. One of my favorite scriptures is found in the Old Testament. It's Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. And I quoted that so many times. And I see God honoring that attitude, that belief in this scripture here, where it says the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the, come on, say it with me, at the top, and you will never be at the bottom. You know, sometimes I like to watch MMA. You know what MMA is? What is it? Come on, guys, you know what it is? It's wrestling, right? It's MMA wrestling. I don't watch it all the time, but sometimes while Karen's doing stuff, I like to just kind of watch about here. And let me tell you, it's so much better to be on the top than it is on the bottom, right? I mean, just to ask Conor McGregor, he'll tell you, amen, man. I don't know if he's a believer or not. So much better to be at the top than the bottom, right? You know, it's like an airplane. It's so much better that that airplane flies above the clouds than in the clouds, right? And it's like an eagle. An eagle. It's so much, that eagle, when it flies low, it's harassed by all kinds of smaller birds, picked on, right? Until it mounts up higher and gets above them. Amen? God has called us to be above and not below. You know, I think what we need to do sometimes is, you know, we come to church, we go to small groups, we meet people on the streets, and people ask you, how you doing? How you doing? And what is your response? Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, life is good. And really, you know, you're not really being honest, are you? Have you ever done that? You just don't want to tell anybody sometimes because you don't want to get into it and you don't want people to know? Come on, am I the only one? No, right? See, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, let's take off the religious veils and the pretenses. Let's take off that facade. Everybody, absolutely everybody has problems. Everybody has issues. Everybody has difficulties, you know? And sometimes we just want to hide, and we don't want everybody to know, you know? We don't want, because let me tell you, that's the worst thing you could do, right? We're human. God understands that. How many of you have gone through battles? How many of you going through battles have gone through, right? All of us. All of us go through problems, and all of us go through difficulties. We just got to be honest about it. But the Bible tells us that you were made to be an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. There are so many things that we can live under and not do anything about. I want to give you a list, short list. I could give you a list that's like five times longer than this, but here's some of the things that we need to change. Here's some of the things that we can all get under. For example, we can all get under a negative outlook. Who's ever had a negative outlook, right? Right, you've had a negative outlook. Yeah, that's right. You know, you're pessimistic, you're negative, you know, and if you're always pessimistic and you're always negative and you wonder why people don't want to be around you, because people want to hang around with people that are happy, and, you know, you need to desperately do something. Put a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face and you will start to gain some favor with people. Do you know that? And we can do something about it. We don't have to have a negative spirit. We can live above that. Amen? How about anxiety? So many of us, and I'm included, live under anxiety. You know what anxiety means? It's having two minds. One moment, you have peace. Next moment, something comes into your mind, something happens, and you're living in chaos, right? With Christ, we can overcome our anxiety. Anxiety is a killer. We can do something about it. We live under debt. We can live under debt. Debt could be like a heavy weight on your back. I like that commercial of debt on your back, and then people like carrying this debt load, you know? I think debt is kind of like a foot on your neck, right? But here's the thing about debt. You can do something about it. You can get help, and you can literally put debt under your feet. Amen? How about anger? A lot of people have anger issues. Rage. We need the peace of God. How about being under habits? Habits that you can't seem to break. You know, like maybe greed or lust or gambling or overeating, anything that we turn to instead of turning to God, right? How about health issues? I know about health issues. You know, we can do something about health issues. We could start declaring the name of Jesus and applying the blood of Christ over our health issues. And you know what else we can do? We can just get some good wisdom about how to put in healthier physical practices that'll get our bodies functioning the way it should. Amen? We can do something about it. We can overcome it. There's a whole list of things. Maybe it's the way you see yourself that you're living under. You have a poor self-image. And so you can't believe more for yourself because you think you don't deserve it, or because of your past, or whatever it is, right? Well, how about, it could be a multitude of things. Maybe you're going through a loss or a difficult time. You're going through a sickness. Whatever it is you're going through. Can I say this? Through it all, you can still praise through. Amen? You can still love people through, right? And you can still smile through, even though you're going through those things. Amen? Is it possible? You know why? Because you know that God has better times and better days. God has a good and a better plan than what you've yet experienced. Amen? Do you believe that? God has more. God still has good plans for you. So, here's the question. How do we live over? How do we actually live over? The answer, it starts with a decision. Maybe it starts with repentance. God, forgive me for allowing fear to take over my life. You know, fear is a big thing, right? That's another thing. Fear takes over so many people's lives. You know, the Bible says that fear is a spirit. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Let me give the definition of being an overcomer. Okay, did I give you that? Okay, I've got to give you this. Here's the definition of an overcomer. An overcomer is a person who overcomes something. One who succeeds in dealing with or gaining control of some difficulty, some problem, or difficulty. Overcoming is all about taking back what the enemy may have stolen from you, right? Things that you need to do. The first thing you got to do if you're going to be an overcomer is you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision declaring, I'm going to live over, I'm not going to live under. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You know, the thing the Holy Spirit is bringing up is this. It's time to decide. Time to decide. Make a decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus, right? And I'm not talking about a January change type decision, like a New Year's resolution type decision. I'm talking about living over, overcoming through the power of the risen Christ. Amen? You know, and just like Jesus, the Bible says Jesus knew his destiny. He knew what he had to do. So he set his face like flint and he went to Jerusalem and he overcame. And he endured the shame of the cross, and he overcame sin, hell, and death for you and for me. Aren't you glad that Jesus had that attitude, made that type of decision? So everybody has to, you want to overcome anything in your life, you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a firm, resolute decision. I'm going to do something about this. What's your decision? Amen? It starts with a decision, a declaration, and then number two, then we need to learn to sit. In other words, take your place of authority. Take your seat. Take your place on that seat of authority. You know, ever notice that after the resurrection, you read the Bible, after the resurrection, when they talk about Jesus, they always depict him as being seated. As being seated. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down and he sat over. Ephesians 1:19. Paul talks about the power that we have when we believe God, when we exercise our faith. And Paul said in verse 19, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, it is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And then in verse, in, Ephesians 2 verse 6, Paul says, and God raised who up? He raised us up with Christ, and he what? Seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. The Bible is telling us that we as believers, positionally, we are now seated, we are placed, we are positioned, we are given authority. Okay? To sit in peace, to sit in his authority, to sit in who God called me to be. What did God call you to be? One of the first things that God called you to be and to understand is that you're the child of a king, of the King of Kings. For all who received him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called children of God. Right? Children not born of natural descent, human decision, husband's will, but born of God. Because of what Christ did for us, we literally have the authority and the right to sit in this place of victory and attitude that whatever comes against us, yes, we can overcome. Because our Savior and our Lord literally made the way and he paid the price. Amen? He paid the price for you to sit there with him. It just reminds me, we've had a MasterCard for years, and we had this little black card called a priority. It's called a priority club. And Karen and I were in the airport one time a few years ago in Calgary Airport, and I just remember I had this priority club card. I thought, you know, I had this we should use it, you know, because so I took this card up, and I said, we've never used this thing before. You're waiting for a plane for hours and hours, and you find the nearest cleanest spot you can sit at in the quiet, and you're waiting sometimes an hour, 2 hours in this plane, you know, and you're trying to get comfortable, and you know, you're looking for a place you can buy something to eat and coffee. Well, you know, we thought, here's the pass. Let's try this out. We went, I think it was Calgary Airport, they have a brand new priority lounge. And so we went, we put this card in, and they said, oh yeah, we all used, and they got my MasterCard numbers, and so Karen and I, we went up, we climbed the stairs, we went up into the priority lounge where they literally feed you all the food that you want. You can have anything you want to drink. It's super clean, and they wait on you. It's incredible. It's like being in heaven, right? So we sat down, and there's big glass windows on the side of the lounge, and you can overlook where everybody else is seated, right? And I remember looking up at those, look at those poor people, you know. Look at, I'm seated in the high, you know, here I am, I'm blessed, right? We're just blessed. You know, you know, Christ paid the pass for you, right? He paid the price. He gave you the pass and the priority to sit in a place of authority. See, we're a child of the King. We have a right to sit at his table, right? So nobody from down there, you know, can come up into the priority lounge, see me up, say, hey, I want to be up there. Get out of there. Get out of there. I'm sitting up. Said, no, I have a pass. I have a right to be here, right? It's like sitting at the king's table. I'm a child of God. I have a pass here. I'm related to the king. So you can't bump me out of my place. Amen? It's just an attitude of knowing that you can have victory, that Christ has won the victory for us. That if we just really press under God, and I'll tell you how we can obtain the victory in our next 2 points, okay? You have the right to sit as a conqueror, a co-heir, because you're co-seated with Christ. You have Christ's power, you're seated in peace. One of the best movies that I've seen in a long time is called The Darkest Hour. I don't know, has anybody seen The Darkest Hour? Of course, The Darkest Hour is all about going right back to the World War II days when Nazi German regime was trying to take over the world and country after country in Europe. And we know that the key person, the key figure in this story, The Darkest Hour, is Winston Churchill. And Churchill, if there's one thing you need to understand, Winston Churchill knew his place. He knew his position. He knew he had authority. See, he became the prime minister. He was seated in the place of rulership and authority. He knew. So no matter what they came against him with, he knew he had authority, right? And so we know that Hitler is a picture of the devil who wants to do nothing but to do what? To rob and to kill and destroy, doesn't he? Right? And so if you watch that movie, there were people in Parliament that wanted Churchill to make terms of peace with Hitler, with the Nazi war machine. And they wanted to make peace because they were so afraid of, you know, being annihilated as a country. And so they said, we want terms of peace, terms of peace. But you see, Churchill understood his position of authority. And what did Churchill say? He says, you can't make peace with a tiger when your head is already in its mouth. Right? You can't make peace with the devil, is what he's trying to say. And this thing, same thing for us as believers. We can't make peace with the devil. What is his purpose? Rob, kill, and destroy. And if he can't kill you, you know what? He's going to cause you to live under. Under. And God wants us to live over, right? So what was Churchill's response? His response was to Parliament and everybody else told him, who tried to tell him, make terms of peace and compromise. He said, we will never flag and we will never fail. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. Fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Amen? Should not that be our attitude too as well? Amen. That's our attitude. We need to learn to sit. Take your place on the seat of authority. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Okay, second thing to do, or the third thing. Learn to stand. Learn to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6 gives us the weapons of our warfare to fight and to overcome. Verse 13, Paul says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Here it is. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of what? Truth. And the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on a peace that comes from the good news, God's word, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God to stop the fiery darts, arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, right thinking, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And if you look at these weapons of warfare, all the words, all the weapons that we have to fight come forth out of God's word. Do you know that? It's all in his word. You want peace? It comes out of God's word. You want power? It comes out of believing God's word. You want faith? It comes out of God's word. Right? It comes out of God's word. You want truth that sets you free? It comes out of God's word. And then Paul says to pray. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Next point. You know this word stand that's in Ephesians chapter 6? It's the same word that's used in John chapter 15. It means abide. To stand is to abide. To abide is to stand. John 15 verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, my words what? Abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Good word. Good word. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you fall, the first thing you got to do is sit up. After you sit up, you got to stand, right? You have to learn to stand. Now, here's the thing. In order to stand, you've got to have the ability to stand, right? Let me say it this way. It's a matter of what's in your heart. What's in your heart, right? So is there courage in your heart today? Is there, you have strength in your heart to stand and to overcome. Proverbs 24, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Another version says, the forces of life come out of your heart. Another version says that out of your heart, everything you do flows from your heart, right? So remember that definition of overcomer. An overcomer is one who succeeds in dealing with or gaining control of some problem or difficulty. Follow me here. To overcome is to take back control of things in your life. To overcome is to take back control. Now, in order to overcome, you've got to build up your inner self. You've got to build up your inner self. See, we spend so much time trying to build up our outer self, but we neglect the inner self. So, you've got to build up your inner self. How do we do that? We just talked about it. You got to spend time in God's Word. You got to read God's Word every day. You got to meditate on it. You got to apply it to yourself. It's not a bunch of stories. What can I get out of it? How's this word applying to me? Right? You got to spend time in God's Word. Meditate on it. Believe it. Let faith build up. You know, it talks about all about who God is. And you realize, as you begin to understand who, and this incredible, mighty, incredible God and who Jesus is, it builds up your confidence in Him through the Word. I mean, everything happens and all the training is centered through the Word of God. All our strength needs to come through spending time in God's Word and in prayer. So we need to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. Amen? And spend time in being in the atmosphere of encouragement, being in that place of fellowship and worship and praise, right? And under the Word of God. That's where it all happens. You know, it's being in God's church. This combination is so important in our lives, but it's so deadly to the devil. Amen? Makes you strong inside. It builds you up. There's an old scripture in Isaiah. It says, the anointing shall make you fat. Another version is, the anointing breaks the yoke. Listen, you spend time in God's presence, in God's Word, and you're going to get anointed. You'll get anointed. The anointing literally will give you power to break whatever is trying to keep you under. Amen? So, let's take control. Let's take back control of our lives. Amen? Let's take back control. You know, the Churchill said, as soon as they made that decision that they would never surrender, the first thing he said is, we got to take France back. You know, let's take France back because it belongs to us. Amen? Let's cultivate a strong inner life so that we can enjoy and experience more of the promises of God. Let's do it. And let's learn to live a life of calm and confidence and peace in our souls. We can live with peace in our souls. Things can be happening around us, but still we have this calm and confidence and peace in our soul that no matter what's happening, it's going to work out right because God's in it with me. Amen? No matter what you're going through, God is the children of God, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, went to the fire, the fiery furnace. There was another person, there's a fourth person in there, and that person is God. Whatever trials you're going through, difficulties, God is going there through it with you. Amen? So let's learn to stand. And the last one, let's learn to walk daily in the power and the authority that is ours in Christ. Psalm 91, verse 13 says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent, walking on the enemy. Romans 6, verse 16, verse 20. the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Overcome. Sometimes we're in a spiritual battle. If you're in a battle, the chances are that it's a spiritual battle. And you're not fighting against flesh and blood, but you're fighting against powers and principalities of darkness. If you're in a spiritual battle, chances are, well, the devil is behind it. Amen? And he's trying to use whatever you're going through to keep you under and keep you from being an overcomer. You know, we know the devil can't kill us. Only God has the right to bring life and to take life. But if he can't kill you, he'll do everything to keep you under and to make you live under a defeated life, a substandard life. Right? God has more for us. Romans 8, verse 34. Last scripture. Jesus, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen? God is saying, it's time for you and for me to live over and not under. Right? Because you're an overcomer. The Bible says you are an overcomer. You are a victor. You have authority. You know, and you, in this life, you can live with peace. You know why? Because you have Jesus. You have Jesus. You have the name above all names. See, I believe with all my heart, we can live. We can walk with confidence. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you can walk with confidence because God has promised good things for your life and for your future. Amen? No matter where you are, it's not the end. There's better for you. You think it's the last, you know, page of the book. But listen, there's another chapter that's way better than what you've experienced up to this point in time. Amen? 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 Listen, your future is not black. It's not bleak. It's not barren. It's bright. And it's blessed because what Jesus did for us on the cross. And let's give him a hand for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank God for Jesus. Let's thank him for the cross. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me today? Just bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. Jesus, we know that you're real. And we know, Lord, that you love us. And we know that there's power in your name. And we know that you care so much for us. You want us to elevate our position, the way we think, the way we feel about you, to know what we're called to. Father, we look for, Lord, I pray for everyone who's listening right now. Maybe you're at a place, maybe you're desperate, or maybe you're beyond desperate, or maybe you're here. All you need is a little bit of peace. I tell you, God wants to give us power and victory. Father, we need the resurrected power of Christ in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that as we seek your face, as we draw near to you, as we begin to open up the Bible, and we, Lord, may we find you. May we receive grace. May we be strengthened in faith. May we have a greater understanding, and may we receive power to live this life. Lord, I pray for power, and I believe you for it. And I thank you for it now, for every single one here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Just want you to keep your heads bowed for just a moment. Maybe there's one person, maybe there's more, just a few maybe. You need Jesus. And you've never made that decision to actually invite Jesus into your heart and allow him to be leader and Lord of your life. Listen, if you haven't done that, then you need to do that. If you want a new beginning in your life, if you want the gift of salvation, the gift of heaven, eternal life, so when you know when you leave this earth, you're going to be with Lord in heaven. If you want that gift, and you want a gift of a brand new life right now, an abundant life, it starts just with a decision. God wants you merely to believe in him. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and if you invite him into your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. You'll be born again. He will give you the gift of salvation and eternal life. So if that's you today, I want to say this simple prayer, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. In fact, can I have all of us repeat this prayer out loud? Pray this prayer after me. Pray this to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that as I seek my face, sorry, as I seek your face, I will find you. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. I will surrender my life to you. Be leader and Lord of my life. Make me into that new person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, you invited Christ into your heart, I want you to hold up your hand and just wave it. Is there anyone here?